Listeners, you're invited to stream and listen to Jawzen's music on Apple Music, Amazon Music, Spotify, AudioMac, or Deezer. Type in Jawzen in the search for artists to follow and like modern instrumental music from his discography.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Romantic Truth Podcast. Please be advised that the content of this show is for mature audiences 18 and over due to the topics discussed. Please feel free to follow and like Romantic Truth on Facebook at facebook.com/romantictruth. You may also listen to the podcast on anchor.fm/romantictruth. Now, here is your host Jawzen.
Well, I have been listening to your show for about a year now and have learned a lot of things. Maybe you can help me with this situation that I am facing. My name is Patty, and I am 53 years old. I have been married going on 21 years, and it has not been a pleasant experience. I managed to use my coping skills to deal with some of the things that I care not to share at this point. We live in a small town in the Midwest, and our daughter, who is 35, has a roommate that my husband wants to have a threesome with. He asked me last night if the three of us could do this behind our daughter's back. I am actually envious of the girl because she looks like I did when I was in my 30s. If I tell my daughter, there will be drama. I told my husband no. He told me that divorce may be the only option for us. Emotionally, I was torn after going through so much with him. But consciously, I was relieved that he mentioned the D word. My daughter just called me to tell me that she's going to be moving back home because her roommate has found other living arrangements. Should I tell her what is actually happening?
Now, Patty, you know, you would not be a good parent if you did not tell your daughter this. I know you're trying to save her feelings. That's where you're going with this. I get it. You don't want her to sever the relationship she has with her father. This is something you can't really protect him on, and you can't really co-sign on this. Now, I'm only giving you the opinion of what I would do if I were in your shoes. It's up to you to make the decision. You're relieved that he wants to get a divorce. And I'm sure there's a lot of things you don't want to disclose, and it's your right to not disclose those things. That's a good thing. Glad we live in a country where you can keep things to yourself. Makes it easier for me on the show, that's for sure. But what I'm going to tell you is this. When it comes down to it, when you tell your daughter, she's going to be in disbelief. She's going to be upset with her roommate. But here's the thing I would caution you about. You don't know what arrangements have been made already between him and the roommate. What if the roommate is actually moving out with a new boyfriend that's not your husband? You don't want that egg on your face either. The one thing that I would probably go by is if he decides to pursue this woman. In other words, no matter what, you're not happy. He's mentioned that he's going to divorce you because he wants this threesome with this young girl. You're jealous of this young girl, but here's the thing that also I'm thinking too. Even though you told him no, I personally think that it was a labored no, a slow no. And here's why I say this. You're envious of the way this young lady looks. Wish you looked like that again. That's part of it. And you're probably thinking that maybe if a threesome wouldn't be so bad, I could probably still keep him. But you got to remember, you'd be doing your daughter a disservice going behind her back like that. Come on, that's a conspiracy. So you know you're not going to do it. Let's face it. You may have a tendency maybe to be with other women, but not under these terms. Too close to home. And you already know this.
What you're looking for is affirmation. Am I doing the right thing? I think you should just sit back and just let him do whatever the hell he wants. If he wants to leave you, fine. You pay for the divorce. You cover the splitting of the assets. But if he's foolish enough to take that risk and jeopardize his marriage or this woman that's younger, I don't know. I think that you got to really reassess what you have there as a relationship with him. It's not much. You got to look at things, and this is what you should take into consideration. When was the last time you guys were really passionately intimate together? I'm not talking about where he's coming in there, his dick's hard, and he's trying to pound your brains out. I'm talking about where you guys actually have been intimate and slowly made love to each other methodically. I bet you it's been a long time. And this is probably some of the stuff that you've had to put up with just to cope. It's like you become that sexual object. Laying there on your back, looking at the ceiling fan, waiting for him to finish. Not really into him. Being that he's told you this, and you gotta give him credit for effectively communicating with you, even though he was inconsiderate with that communication, by trying to give you an ultimatum with it. This is the reason why I always say there's another component to communication called consideration. In this particular situation, you know damn well you're not going to betray your daughter like that. You're going to let her know. Any good mother would. Now, there's several things that might be going on with him. It could very well be where he's saying all these things and haven't acted on them. And it could be that he's already acted on them, and the young lady that he's trying to get with probably told him no. And she may be afraid to tell her roommate because she doesn't want to get involved with family matters. And that could be also the reason why she's moving out. Her roommate's dad tried to make a move on her. Let me get away from this mess before it escalates. That's what I think it really is. I think this threesome and all this is in his own head. That's what he wants to do. Question to you is, has this woman made any inroads to him? Probably not. This is all on him. Now, you're kind of hoping that this divorce thing really has legs. You want out of the marriage. Your daughter's grown and gone. I don't know if you have any other children. And you realize you're just with him symbolically now. The thing you have to look at is, how do you want to live the rest of your life? You got 53 years already down in it. Statistically, on the high end, you got about 45 more. Women live longer than men statistically. And I looked at another stat, you know, actually, there's a higher percentage of women that make more than their husbands or boyfriends today, thanks to things like OnlyFans. But you have women that are still out there who want to make it the honest way. And not to say that OnlyFans is dishonest, but you know, where you have the integrity and the reputation still intact. So overall, something like this, they're the best thing for you to do. You know your daughter better than anyone else on the face of this earth, better than the man she would date or marry. There's one thing about a mother, She has a blueprint of everything she produced. So, what you have to realize is that your daughter is going to have this issue with her dad when she finds out. But before I would jump the gun and tell her about this, I would first let it play out to see whether or not she's actually leaving to get away from him, or she's actually leaving because of him. Two big differences. You don't know which one it is yet because you've only heard it from his side of the fence. And see, if your daughter doesn't have a clue, in any case, more than likely, that roommate's keeping her mouth shut. I think personally, her better angels are probably prevailing here, and she's doing it because he's probably trying to make some kind of advance towards her, and she turned him down. But she doesn't want to get involved in the family mess. So basically, what it will come down to is that your husband ran her roommate away. Funny how sometimes people think that they should be inclusive of their children's lives. We talk about boundaries all the time. Oh, he's gone past many of them. He went past the boundary with you, telling you this. But you got to give him credit for being honest, because he could have let this be a covert thing, but he feels confident enough now that he could tell you, because he's going to openly pursue her whether or not. So there had to be some sort of confidence. It could be all in his head. If you want to save the marriage, you possibly could try counseling. But usually when a person has pushed the divorce word already, they're going to come in with a bias. In other words, they already don't want it to work. I think that this is where he is. Most women, as soon as they would have heard that, it's okay, see ya, and they would tell their daughter. She's coming back home to you, so you know she'll be safe. I don't see any complications, really, on your part. Let him be the fool. He would have a lot of explaining to do if he went for your daughter's roommate. He would have fucked up the marriage. Your daughter's a grown woman. She's not stupid. As soon as she picks up on something, oh, she'll follow it through. But I guess he's not thinking about losing potentially a relationship with not only his wife, but his daughter as well. You can't make someone love you. You can't make someone act right. He has to be willful. It has to be done from the core. What I would tell you, if anything, if I were you in your condition, if I were you, I would go to counseling. Then I'd probably bring my daughter in, and then after you find out what's going on, then you could tell her the truth in that environment. And the reason why I say it with that, after you have found out what's actually going on, then you won't have that anxiety. So when you would tell her, oh, she's gonna lay into his ass, trust me. If he goes through with this, oh yeah, he's gonna have hell to pay. But it's nice that you've kept such a wonderful relationship with your daughter that you really are considering her. A lot of people would. They're just divorced, all right, that's fine. And they go on, find another man and go on with their lives. Daughter finds out. Daughter, I don't want to hear it. She did the right thing. Just wait it out. All right. more in a moment.
Hi everyone, my name is Tanya. I'm 46, I live in Steamboat Springs, Colorado. I am sure Jao-san James told you about me doing a cartwheel in a canary yellow sundress without panties is 100% true. It was our first date in Santa Monica, and I have no regrets for doing it in 1995 when I was 21 years old. Babe, there is always love for you.
Jao-san, during the covert lockdown in 2021, my boyfriend and I decided to move in together to save money. We made an amateur porn video. It has been on sale ever since, and we only sold one copy.
All right. Well, look, there are a lot of things going on with this. One, why did you make the tape in the first place? Self-esteem? Trying to prove your love? Because he wanted you to do it? This is a question you got to ask yourself. But now I have a feeling that you have a sense of regret. Selling only one copy? Damn! Look, and please don't send me a clip of it. One copy, I don't want to see it. The only thing I can say is this. I don't know if you're disappointed about selling only one copy of it, or whether you're disappointed about the fact that you felt as though that was all you were worth, was what that person paid for that one copy. Now you got to worry about your reputation, huh? Probably got to look at the people that will find out about it and know about it. And you sold yourself short. I know you want to be together and you want to have love. I don't even know if you're still with him. But I want you to think about something. I tell ladies this all the time. Two things that you should never do with a guy. Make a porn tape with him and get a tattoo of him on your body. And you ladies do this and you wonder why some of the guys just pass you by. As soon as I see a tattoo of some other dude's name on their body, I'm not interested. I don't care how fine, I don't care how she tries to hide it. Not interested. Been there, done that before. Was with a woman, we get ready to get busy and she takes off her top. And then between her titties, some guy's name. Well, that killed the mood. She tried to put her hand over it. Like she was pledging the allegiance while she fucking. I pledge allegiance to the dick to which I'm serving. Mm-mm. We ain't gonna cut it. Ladies, I would tell you this time and time again. Don't get to that point. Because you don't know where your marketability may take you. You may break up with this guy and find the best guy in the world next to you. Only in the next date. You don't see a lot of guys going out there scribbling women's name on their bodies. Some do. Most don't. And the reason why is because they're no good and well. That's going to mess up their chances. Marketability. That's the reason why you see a lot of these women, these supermodels and stuff, the real ones, not these Instagram models, they don't go and write all that shit on their bodies because they want to be more marketable. Why do you think people go and buy a nice Mercedes or Rolls Royce and don't put a lot of extra shit on it? It's because they're more than likely going to get fair market value when they sell it. and they'll sell it to a broader audience. Well, the same thing with you. The more generic you are, the more marketable you are. Evidence of this, look at the guys who are dating women now. You got a lot of sisters complaining about these black men going out dating all these other women. Look at many of these other women. A lot of them don't have tattoos. A lot of them don't have a lot of gaudy makeup. They're just generic women. Because guess what? In general, that's what men like. They want you to have those feminine features that they don't have as men. That's all they ask for. If you notice, men don't put forth too much effort to attract you. Maybe a haircut. They're not going out there getting Botox and all that shit. You have some that do. But most men aren't doing all that. And I know you have this natural versus cosmetic argument. Hear it all the time. But here's what you got to realize. You've been marketed to believe that. You're still living in the fantasies of guys from way back when they wanted to have these fine Swedish models and these beautiful women with blonde hair and blue eyes that they didn't have at home. Most of them had brunettes. They were average looking women or out of shape. But their fantasy was to have those gorgeous women. And those gorgeous women marketed a whole bunch of products, lifestyles to everyone else. Gave everybody else something to look forward to. I want you to think about it for a moment. You look at many of the billionaires and millionaires. Look at their wives. I'm talking about the people that really have money, 100 million plus people. Outside of a few entertainers and a few celebrities, the bulk of them, they don't have supermodel wives. They don't have those knockout gorgeous chicks. Nope. And even when you see some of the millionaire and billionaire women, like the wealthiest woman in the world right now, took a look at her picture, I was like, eh, looks like somebody I'd see at Walmart. She wouldn't stop traffic. Guys wouldn't be hitting the brakes, breaking their necks. But dear, getting back to this video, I think you probably did this for some sort of affirmation, some sort of approval. And the only thing you got was disappointment. Now, you're going to have to reassess what things are really important to you. And the first thing that should be important to you are those five things: your freedom, your wealth, your mobility, your decision-making skills, and your reputation. You jeopardize that stuff for what you did. And there are so many women, and fellas, I tell you right now, put your cameras away when it comes down to these women. Don't be a fool thinking you're going to extort her because you took some nude photos of her or something like that. They have laws that will lock your ass up if you try to go out and market those things. If they're supposed to be private, you better make them private. I mean, put them like in a Google vault or something like that, because Google Photos have a vault where you can hide those things. Don't go out there trying to market those or trying to make money off of them, especially after you've broken up or even if you're together. Don't do it. I know it's tempting, but you got to remember now, it's going to affect those five things I tell you about. Because they have a lot of laws, especially in the state of California, for instance. They'll put your ass away. Nevada, too. They'll put your ass away. So make sure that you don't do that. You know, they had this revenge porn site. I told you about it. They gave the guy 18 years that operated. Because
she has legal grounds to sue you if you put them out there without her consent and permission. And ladies, on your side of the equation, you got to think about how this is going to compromise you for jobs, for future endeavors. I know some of you say, well, I'm not running for political office. Yeah, but you could be going for a job at the state, county level, federal level, and that happens to pop up in the background check. It's going to limit your marketability, is what I'm getting at. Now, don't know how much damage has been done as far as your career aspirations. I think this is more on the level of you personally seeing a setback. Now, I don't know you. I don't know any of your information or nothing like that. You just left a message. The only thing I could tell you is this. Stay away from being in front of the camera. That's not a way to raise your self-esteem. I know a lot of girls go on OnlyFans, they go on Instagram, and they go on all these different sites trying to create thirst traps for guys. I get it. A lot of you are actually paid money by rappers to promote their song, promote their music. I put tracks together myself, but guess what I don't do? I don't just get some fine-ass woman and just put it up there. Now, some women send me their fine-ass pictures, and I'll put them in maybe my Facebook story. And that'd be about it. But I make sure that they're falling within some sort of modicum of decency. However, there are some. Let me address this while I'm at it. Some of you guys have been complaining because you've gone on Facebook, Instagram, and you're seeing all of these butt shots of women, and you're wondering why many of them don't turn around. Some of you have talked about going on Snapchat and other social media platforms, and the person's not dropping their bottoms like some of the other women are. Well, the reason why some of them are not dropping their bottoms is because they're not anatomically a woman down there. You'll notice this because they're seeing a plethora of those pictures. People are adding me all the time on Snapchat. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I already know. Delete. And they don't get it. There was one person, they would send me at least 30 video clips a day on Snapchat. Every time I'd block them, report them, they'd just open up another account. And then finally I asked the person, were you born a man? Because you're not showing anything down there. You're showing your breasts and everything else, but the person responded, what if I am? I said, well, you sent the photos that were unsolicited to me. Block that person. They show up again. You have some people that are out there that seek approval so badly, they're so desperate, that they will literally do anything for that affirmation. And it's really sad when someone has a deficit like that in their lives. And they have that deficit because they don't really have that much confidence in who they are beyond that. So what happens when that body goes away? What happens when now it's a gut, cellulite? And then you get to a point where you can't even see your own vagina without dropping a mirror down on the floor, spreading your legs so you can see it. Then what? You got to start loving yourself for who you are. Doesn't matter whether you're fat, skinny, tall, short, black, white, doesn't matter about your race or anything. You got to love you first. But some of you are trying to go out and get other people to love you first so you can love yourself. Or admire you first so you can admire yourself. No, that's not the way to go. You got the cart before the horse. You need to start with yourself first. You know, I see a lot of women, especially you see this on the dating scene a lot, where women would brag about how fine they were and how cute they were. And a lot of these were usually larger African-American women. But you know what? I didn't get mad at them for doing that. A lot of guys would get up, man, she stuck up. I said, no, think about it for a moment. I can't be mad at her for one reason. That may be the only confidence that she has going for it, but guess what she's not doing? She's not exploiting herself in that confidence. Yeah, she can brag about herself and all that, but the reason why she's doing that is to make herself feel better. And all of that shit usually ceases when she gets with a man. All that talk, independent, single, entrepreneur, all that shit goes by the wayside when she's with a man. And he really knows what's going on. He knows that she's behind on her car payment. She knows that she's been trying to get child support from her ex. He knows these things about her. And when that happens, she humbles herself a bit. But she has to come out with the big show of confidence. But we know a lot of times it's superficial, because a confident woman, she never has to do that. As I told you before, there are some women that I used to see walk into establishments. Every head, every eye would turn as if she was Jesus Christ walking through that door. And what you would see, all of those guys that were talking shit at the bar, standing around, bragging about whose ass they beat and all this other stuff, all cease. And that's when you find out the men from the boys. Guy that was talking about he was an alpha male, he can get any kind of woman, blah, blah, blah. First thing he'll try to do is to cut her down. Oh, she stuck up. She ain't this, she ain't that. That's because she's out of your league, and you know damn well you go to that woman, you're going to get dissed. People know. When a woman has presence, she doesn't have to do all that talking. She don't have to do a damn thing. We just walk in the room and just be herself. And she'll get more attention than any other woman that's going out there. Look at me, look at me, look at me. I got a short dress on. My titties are hanging out. My ass is showing. As I told you before, a lot of women will be starved for attention. And they go into the club with their girlfriend. And they say, look, let's just kiss. We'll get free drinks for the whole night. I've seen them do it. They go and kiss, play with each other. They're really not bisexual or lesbian, but they would do it to get the attention of the men. And these guys would buy drinks and pull up and want to dance with them and all this other shit. They get all the attention of the world. Could come to the club broke as fuck. Could come to the club on ladies' night with no money in their purse. And get fed and full. Get all kind of drinks at their disposal, because they're always going to be that 6 o'clock party guy in there that thinks that he could buy his way to love with one of those women. And he's shelling out the money. Sometimes we get a competition where these guys are in a frenzy. See if they can outdo the next one. Oh, you just bought a Hennessy. Get us some Dulce. Get us some Patron. I'm going to buy the bottle. You up here buying a glass, I'm about to buy them. That kind of foolishness. And oh, they're loving it. The ladies are loving it. And it's not their fault. They get on the phone in the ladies' room. Girl, they're buying us drinks. You better bring your ass on down here. I don't feel like coming out. Girl, get your ass up and get down here. Then all of a sudden you see a whole slew of ladies come in and they're joining the fun. And the guys, they're shoving the money out. And the club owners and promoters, they knew this. That's the reason why they didn't stop it. They didn't interrupt. Because they knew good and well, these women are the draw. Just like with celebrities. My friend that managed clubs, he would tell me, he said, man, we'll get celebrities just to come in and just to have one drink and leave. And with that one drink, word was spread, and before you know it, everybody named Mama's there. Don't let them take a couple of pictures with the people. Oh, shit. And the celeb wouldn't have to pay for a damn thing. Because they were going to make it on the back end with all the people that want to be noticed, want to be seen. That's what we go through in life. Especially here in America, because it's a capitalist system. Now, you're talking about classism. Just think if you were back in Rome, ancient Rome. Oh, you had to be a classist like you wouldn't believe. Certain people you didn't even associate with. You couldn't associate with a former slave in Rome. Because they didn't have the same rights as you did as a Roman citizen. So even if they bought themselves out of slavery, they could never have the status and prominence. And a lot of that is residual here in the United States with our slavery in our past. Friend used to tell me, he said, man, we get a club and they had a crime problem there. First thing we'd do is change the music. They'd have hip hop and R&B. We'd get rid of the hip hop, rap and R&B. And we'll put in top 40 music. Had a whole different crowd. They'd spend more money. It'd be more generic. Pure problems. Because even though you're there to have fun, that company that's running that club is out to make money. And their money comes from the alcohol and the food. So, what I will tell you, my dear, is this. You've learned your lesson as far as being in front of the camera. You only have one person that purchased your video. That's your only fan. Without the S. So maybe that's not for you. Try picking yourself up and doing something else that's positive for your own psychological perception. And as you know, I always say, counseling is a good start. Get you with a licensed counselor to talk some of those issues out. And see, the thing is, they're going to work with you on managing your insecurities, on managing some of the compulsive behavior that pushes you in a direction that you don't want to go into. And once you've done that, then you have a better handle on managing it to get your boundaries back, to get your standards back. Because you know you've gone outside of your boundaries. You've gone past your standards and values. This is the reason why, in a way, you have buyer's remorse for what you did. You're not alone. There are a lot of women that have done that. I've chatted with women that have come out of divorces because the husband made them feel worthless. And they felt as though, I need to have some love, some attention, some kind of way. Let me go and get into a porn movie. Let me go and get into some alternative or other lifestyle so I'll be looked upon with some sort of respect or dignity. But it has to start with the individual first, not with the other people. See, what you have to remember is the way you represent yourself, other people respect that. If you go out there expecting the people to respect you, they only respect that snapshot of you that they see. So they really don't know you. You have a lot of women that talk about being objectified. Well, if you present yourself to be objectified, That's all these men are going to see.
Can't tell you how many strippers told me, oh, you know, I'm educated. I went to college. Did you finish? Why'd I need to finish? I'm making $25,000 a month. You're making $25,000 a month crawling across the floor in this damn sleazy ass place. Of course, a lot of them exaggerate. Only thing you have to do is Google, what is the median income for a stripper in whatever area code or whatever zip code or phone or city you're in. And they should have the stats there. The median income is the midpoint. There are people that make more than that and people that make less than that. Because you got to remember, the numbers have to add up. If only 20% of the population is reporting to the IRS that they're making over $100,000 a year, well, and you're with a woman, like the lady told me that night, that was making $25,000 a month, she would fall in that category, wouldn't she? If you really think about it, do the math. In 4 months, she'd have 100 grand. So in a year, she'd be looking at about 300,000 a year. And still living in a one-bedroom apartment in South Central Los Angeles. Interesting. Unless the money's going elsewhere. So let's face the reality. Don't use somebody else's admiration of you as a vehicle to give yourself value. That value is intrinsic. It comes from you. It comes from what you have put into yourself, not what other people's put into you.
For yourself, I am a married woman for 10 years and I have a boyfriend who is single but I've been with for the last three. So far, we have had no problems. I'm not leaving my husband and he is cool with that. Maybe it's me, but I don't see a valid argument for you for married women not dating single men. Please educate me.
Well, folks, I guess she told me and put me in my place. Keep my opinion to myself. Yeah, and I hope your husband keeps that bullet to himself, too. Now, as you know, I don't promote violence on the show by no stretch. But what I am saying here is, this is the kind of attitude, fellas, that gets you in trouble. You see how defensive she got? And the reason why she got that way was because I struck a nerve. Because she knows what she's doing is wrong. See, the woman who is confident, who is doing this, she's not listening to me. She's doing her thing. She's with her single man, even though she's married. She's got no time to try to stand her ground and prove herself. Like I told you, this show, we touch buttons.
that we don't intentionally want to touch. Because it all depends on the people. Now, the reason why she's upset is because she knows good and well that I have validation in my argument. That's the reason why she tried to, quote unquote, nullify my argument by what she said. But what she has realized, she's the exception and not the rule. You see the difference there, fellas? A person, when they are the exception, they try to make themselves the rule. You see it a lot with these lifestyle choices and different things that people come up with. It works for them, but it doesn't work on a larger scope for other people, because if it did, more people would do it. They would be in the majority, and people who don't do it would be in the minority. So, of course, we know that's not the case. So, no matter how she tries to, you know, posture herself up to defend her argument, that works for her life. And you notice she took it as if I was talking to her personally. And I don't know her from a can of beans in Arkansas. Because most of the topics I talk about are very generic. When a person hears something that I say that doesn't pertain to them, guess what they don't do? They don't respond. Because it doesn't pertain to them. They can't identify. They may listen out of amusement or entertainment, but for the most part, it's not going to be an actionable thing where they got to go and give a response. You see, when you're doing something and you're confident in what you're doing, nothing can shake your objective. You're doing what you're doing in confidence. There are women who are married, who are dating single men that listen to this podcast. Guess what they're not doing? They're not calling and complaining. This lady's acting like I have some kind of customer service department, which I don't. Anything you call here with a complaint, you're going to get cussed out. No, I'm just kidding. But for the most part, it's a situation where I point these things out. That's the reason why I tell you single men not to fuck around with married women. Let her deal with her marriage and her problems. That little vacation she's trying to get with you, well, it's challenging. And then you hear this silly argument. I remember one time a lady right here in Vegas was married and wanted to go out with me. Met her on Hinge. And she let me know up front that she was married. And I said, no, that wouldn't be a good idea. I said, matter of fact, we shouldn't be chatting because your husband may get upset. Oh, he doesn't know. We don't look at each other's phones. We don't look at each other's computers. That's no safety net for me. Coming from somebody who's cheating. Owe me a damn thing. That's just like me trusting a thief and we robbing a bank together. Hell, we might get the money. You might shoot me in the gut so you can have it all. Sorry, I can't trust you like that. And see, this is what I'm getting at, fellas. A lot of you sometimes trust them too much. And you have to realize, no matter what she said, posturing up on the show about me, you know, being in my own lane or whatever, my own opinion or whatever, just like she expressed hers, I have mine to express too. The difference is I have a platform, she doesn't. But here's the difference also. I'm trying to help you with things to avoid that will get you involved with a person like that. See, you got to remember one thing about a married woman that cheats. To a large degree, she's going to be exempt from any scrutiny from her husband. Usually. The maximum scrutiny. Oh, he's going to still want his woman back. It's just like when you get your car stolen. Still want your car back. Unless it's damage beyond repair. Oh, his anger is not going to go towards her. Sexual anger? Maybe. But his physical anger, where he wants to knock somebody out, He's looking for the guy. That's usually the way it goes. So this women can tell you anything. Oh, he's not violent. He doesn't get upset. He knows. Mm-mm. She's going to say anything to persuade you. And that's what you have to watch. You want to leave your husband so badly? Well, before we start dating, get a divorce. Well, I need some money to get. Well, looks like we can't do anything until you get that. You mean to tell me you're going to hold up our relationship over some? Yes. Over a piece of paper? Yeah, because you're calling it a piece of paper. If we had anything involved between the two of us, it wouldn't even be a piece of paper. It'd just be words. So you haven't really qualified yourself. What you've done, you've just left it whereas I'm just this dude that you're with, and if we get caught together by your husband, you're going to be exempt from more scrutiny than I probably will take on. He may just push you aside to get to me, to kill me or hurt me. Meanwhile, the only thing you have to do is kiss his ass and not say anything for a while. And even though he may not trust you as much, you still have the chance of not going to the hospital or the morgue. That's what you have to look at. Because see, when a married woman cheats, when she cheats, the liability is on the man that she's cheating with. Because she could always say, well, honey, I was into my feelings and you weren't giving me the attention. So, I messed up. Yeah, I made a mistake. What do you think the guy that's cheating with is going to have the same argument? Your wife's pussy was so good that I just couldn't leave, man. And, you know, I had my hand on the hotel door knob and I was ready to turn to get out, but that pussy was so good I had to go back in. You probably heard the excerpt that I played from the Steve Harvey Morning Show when the dude was pulling a prank on the guy. Called him to speak to the guy and wanted to speak to the guy's wife. And at first the man thought that, hey, you know, this is cool, until he started asking more personal questions. And shit got real serious, but, you know, it was all a prank. So, you know, if somebody gets fired up over a prank, what makes you think that they won't get fired up over the real thing? As I told you, this is not a morality thing. This is all about you protecting yourself as a single man and not getting yourself caught up in something that could really jeopardize your future. You got to remember, in certain states, she gets pregnant, you may be responsible for child support. In other states, it could be the man she's married to. It depends on the law. Because there's not a universal law in the country that establishes one thing. That situation in North Carolina, it was unprecedented. No other state had that happen. The man sued for $900,000 emotional alienation, and he was able to get a civil judgment. Just because it hadn't been done before, just like that guy probably thought, oh, you know, I ain't gonna get sued over nothing like this, screwing this man's wife. It hadn't been done before, but it was done down there. That's the reason why I tell you folks, legal precedent is something else. You never know. Same thing with STDs. I was reading an article this lady posted on her blog before, I guess, her husband found out about it. She was bragging about how she was cheating on him. In other words, she was giving him payback because he had cheated on her earlier in the marriage, years earlier. And she just found out about it recently at that time. He had cheated on her in the beginning of the marriage with her best friend. And she didn't find out about it until years later. So she goes on this blog and she just let the spillway open up. And she talked about how she came down with an STD from a guy she had an affair with and blamed her husband for it. And the husband blamed the woman that he had been messing around with, because he was still messing around with another woman. She didn't know it at the time. And when you start passing around those kind of things in your marriage, oh yeah, you guys need to have a time out and go and talk to somebody. See if you can work that out. I try to do it between yourselves. But there's some couples out there, honestly, they can't even stand to be in the same place with each other. They don't want to deal with each other. And so they find comfort in another party, even though they're legally bound. And as I told you before, a lot of these women are married and won't leave their husbands, like this woman won't, because of the lifestyle she's provided being married, because of some of the future benefits she will have from being married. The worst thing in the world a single man can hear from a married woman is, "You can't afford to take me away from my husband." At that point, fella, she is chumping you out. That's the reason why you don't get emotionally involved with them. If they can't honor a contract that they have agreed to go into, the hell makes you think that they're going to be the same with you? They're giving you feelings right now that they would like to have shared with their husband. Those are leftovers. But now you got to remember, he had the best of her when he married her. You're getting the leftovers. You're putting that shit in the microwave. See, all the shit she went through in the marriage and all that stuff, when she first came into the dating realm, it was just like getting a new car. She was optimistic. Probably wasn't cheating then. Would have been committed to him 100%. Was able to handle a lot of things that would come down the pike. Until it happened. Maybe he cheated on her. Maybe he's not giving her the attention or the time. And now, those extra feelings and emotions that she does have, she's giving them to you. But now what you have to remember is you're nothing more than just a receptacle for those feelings, those emotions. Those weren't intended for you initially. They were intended for him. You see where I'm going with this? So you're getting the back end of those feelings. So now here's the thing. That relationship is not going to materialize in anything for the most part. Rarely do they. This woman says she's not leaving her husband. And she's happily married and got her boyfriend on the side. Now it could very well be that she has that arrangement set up with her husband now. But you got to remember, guys, this. That married woman's going to try to seek some equity in you of some sort. She doesn't want you going around, because her biggest threat is another single woman. See, that other single woman can do more than she can. Because a single woman doesn't have another man she's committed to. She can spend time with you. You can go to places and not worry about being seen by other people. You guys can have access to each other at any time. And you can build and look forward to having a relationship that won't involve her being attached to somebody else. Unlike when you're with a married woman. So you already know it's a zero-sum game for you with her. You will never win the prize. You will always be in the competition. Her husband's won the prize already. At best, you're gonna get some leftover feelings. And trust me, if she comes into jeopardy of losing that marriage, your ass gotta go. That's the way it is. Now see, another thing too. Some women will try to use that thing that a lot of single women like using when they get with a married man. Some of the single women like that lifestyle that the married man has provided for the wife. They want that too, because some of the single men that they've dated have been broke or didn't make the money that that married man's making. And so some married women feel as though, well, you know what? Only thing I got to do is give him some trinkets, give him some money, spend a little money on him. Oh, he'll be just fine. You know what else is funny too? A lot of times with married women, when they cheat, see, when they take money out of the household, they don't look at it as taking food out of the kid's mouth, clothes off their back. Only women who are married who've been cheated on by the men will tell that to the man if he gets caught cheating. The argument that the man can tell his wife if she's cheating on him is, so you're taking the money that I had to take shit off my boss for to give it to another man that's not associated with this household. So the reason why I ran short on buying my kid a pair of Jordans is because you went on and bought him some cologne. See, that's the way it kind of hits. But like I said, the show is not to persuade you anyway, to make you think anyway. I treat all of you as adults and as leaders. So it's up to you to decide what's the right lane for you in life. But just the words of the wise to you younger guys. When it comes down to a married woman, no matter what she offers you, no matter what she allows you to do, understand it's on borrowed time. There was a coworker that I used to work with. He was messing around with a married woman. And she had that new Jaguar at the time. When Ford had purchased a Jaguar, and it was S-type. It was navy blue. And he showed up in the parking lot one day with it, and everybody was oohing and aahing over it. We knew that he was in pretty much dire straits as far as financially, because he had kids. Wasn't married though. And he, man, you know, that's my girl's car, blah, 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 blah. And he's going on and on. So he took us all to lunch in it one day. And he's like, yeah, man, you know, it's sunroof open, music playing. So I noticed a couple of things. When I looked in the sun visor, there's a picture of this couple up there. I asked him about it. one of the ladies that was in the back seat, she was like, "Who's that?" And he was like, "Who's what?" And he said, "Who's that picture up there?" She said, "Who's that picture up there?" And I was like, "Yeah, man, who is that?" And she's kind of hot. He said, "Oh, that's my girl and my husband." And then the lady in the back seat said, "Oh, they're divorced? I don't want to get into it." What she was letting him do was drive the car that her husband bought her. He was out of town. Now, he had a Cutlass Supreme. My boy did, the co-worker. Had the rims, had it lifted up off the ground. I don't know how the hell he got into that thing. One day he came to work. It's a badass attitude. He was mad as hell. He was throwing shit. I was like, "Yo, man, you can't be slinging around computers and shit like that." He's like, "Yo, man, I need to take the rest of the day off." I said, "All right, let me go and talk to the super about that." So I went on and talked to the supervisor about it. He's like, "Come, come in my office." Because his work had started to decline. They had an argument. That boy said, "Fuck it, I'm gone." Picked up his stuff and left. I was asking what was wrong. Yeah, but I was kind of curious. Well, the supervisor didn't say anything. Now, when we finally got a chance to find out what was going on, he had already been fired. To this day, I don't know how it happened or what happened. Rumor had it that the man found out about him and his wife. I know one thing, his ass didn't show up again. Packed all this shit up and sent it in a FedEx box to his last known address. Now, the danger in that, we were riding around in that woman's Jaguar. What if she had a crazy husband or an irate husband? Me and the two women, and possibly him, would have been totally vulnerable in that situation. But she had him like that. Had him brainwashed. And you think she was going to leave her husband for him with what he made? Mm-mm. Nope. Nope. See, there are certain types of women out there, we're married, who want to leave their husband, but won't leave him until they find a man they could either do as good as her husband or better financially. But see, you got to remember, fellas, women have more choices than we do when it comes to choosing a partner. They're the ones that get hit on all the time. We already know, a woman's hitting on us, we got to check her for fleas. I hate to say it that way, but it's true. First thing we say, ladies, y'all don't know this, but we say, "Oh, shit. Why is she coming after me?" Because it's usually the other way around. We're chasing them. When they start chasing us, we got to ask questions. Because if we don't, we may find out the hard way. We're going to close today's show talking about a term that's commonly used among women to describe men. It is called being the jerk.
That's right, fellas. Many of you have that noteworthy title of being the jerk. Now, what that means to women is the following. Don't get serious about him. He's going to hurt your feelings. He's going to make you feel bad. Oh, he's going to do your emotions in. He's not worth it. Now, there are two reasons mainly why men are called jerks. One has to do with the fact that the guy's rude. He's one of these people that has to have the last word. He doesn't give her a chance to say anything edgewise. And so she feels as though she's not being heard, she's not being respected, she's not even being noticed. Nobody likes that. The other is the guy who won't do what she wants to have done. He's the jerk. Now, the latter is the majority of men being classified in that category that are classified as jerks. Now, some guys, especially gamma males, are very good at being jerks. And the reason why they are, they lack the interpersonal skills, but when it comes down to making the money, oh, they're good at that. When it comes down to thinking, they're very good. They're very smart people. But they seem to lack emotional intelligence. And they seem to lack the communicative skills in order to entertain a woman or to keep her interest. And so what these guys do, they pride themselves off of being an asshole. Because they've been called that before, and they could kind of be familiar with that title very well. These are the guys that would ask for forgiveness before permission. Oh boy, that sounds really racy, doesn't it? Now, the way these guys actually attract women, backhanded compliments, or they put them in a place where that woman doesn't feel as though she's really coming across to get his attention. Now, men thrive off of this, especially those guys that look at it from the standpoint of, you know what? What have I got to lose? And what they'll do, they're going to go and be the biggest jerk they possibly can because they'll be remembered. And of course, what he's banking on is that one of the women in that group of women that finds out that he's a jerk will take the Pepsi challenge. Now, there are other women that will look at it from the standpoint, well, damn, everybody she's dated has been a jerk. And they're not going to take that at face value. They want to have some irrefutable evidence that he is indeed a jerk. And these are the women that most of those guys wait for. The guy's going to be hard to get. He's not going to be so easily impressed by her, especially her physical appearance. She's just going to be another fly on the wall. And who these guys are really laying in wait for are those women who have low self-esteem, who must have the attention of every man in the room. Those are the guys that are usually going to wind up with that particular girl. See, the confident woman doesn't have to do that. She realizes that when she walks into a room, she has the choice of whichever man she wants. The woman who is insecure operates on the premise of, I want to get the attention of every man that's here. Whether I got to be provocative, whether I have to be flamboyant, whether I have to go out there and damn near compromise my own integrity. Oh, but I will be noticed. Now, a lot of women don't get this because this is what actually attracts jerks to them. Because the guys look at her as to say, she thinks she's all that. She's stuck up. She thinks she's a challenge. Let me prove her wrong. It becomes a game of will to those guys. And so you could be very attractive, looking very good, smelling good. He might give you a backhanded compliment. Or he might tell you something like, one guy told a lady when there was standing room only in this one bar, there was a live band up there in the front. And this woman was very attractive with her girlfriend. And she and a little entourage of girls were there standing, waiting to find seats. And the guy was at the bar behind them. And he says, hey, fatsoes, why don't you move? And they're looking around, trying to see who he's talking to. And one of the ladies said, excuse me? And that struck up the conversation that he wanted. Now, this guy didn't look like any kind of a GQ magazine model or anything like that. But he put the bait out there to see who would trip over it. A couple of the other women there ignored him, like he didn't say anything. But guess who it was? The most attractive woman in the group. They had to respond. Oh, and she was going to go toe-to-toe with him, pointing a little crooked finger in his face. And he said, well, how do you know I was talking about you? Oh, well, that was disrespectful to call any woman fat. That's where he wanted to go with it. He triggered her. She was the weakest one in the bunch. The most sensitive one. And as the night wore on, he did a make good by letting her have his seat at the bar. And that callous persona of this woman melted like butter. All of a sudden, she was so friendly and thanking him for letting her have the seat. But he would not have gotten her attention unless he had to give up something. He had to put in some sort of shock value in order to get her attention. The other women kept on standing, and then eventually other guys gave up their seats for her, for the women. I wasn't that hard up for a woman. She wasn't getting my damn seat. But here's the thing. Now that I think about it, I want my damn money back from that concert. That band sucked. I think they only paid two sets. They were supposed to play three. But anyway, that bass player was all fucked up. But anyway, here's the thing. That woman that night was the most attractive of them all because she had more shit on her than the other women did. And the dress, of course, was a lot tighter and all of this other stuff. And she felt kind of out of place because she and her girlfriends really didn't know anybody there. And so eventually, those guys that had given up their seats will eventually allow all of them to sit together. So now the guy that initially wouldn't said what he said, stood there the whole night, let these women pay for their own drinks, she got comfortable enough with them that they started cracking jokes and talking and everything. But I was checking out his modus operandi. And it was funny, after they got up and they left early, and I asked him, I said, you know, I saw what you did. He said, it was smooth, wasn't it? I said, yeah. He said, well, look, he said, I'm a short, fat guy. There was no way in the hell I was going to be able to get one of those women. He said, but at least I got the girl's phone number. And that's where he had to reach in order to get it. And there's some guys who have to do that, literally, because they can't win the woman over any other way. Just like some of you ladies. Some of you know damn well, you really may not have it together for the guy that you want. And sometimes you don't know what to do and you get nervous, you get anxious. Just take your time, relax. Whatever you do, don't go for the pussy button. Don't go, I think that that's going to win him over. Some of you do that. Now, don't know whatever happened to that particular couple afterwards. But what he did was kind of unique. I didn't need to do it. But it was interesting to see how some people operate. Ladies, I will tell you this. You call a man a jerk, there's going to be one woman in earshot that's going to challenge your judgment on that. She's not going to confront you directly. She'll go to the guy. Oh, and I've been told by women, you know, that girl, she thinks you're a jerk. Why so? Well, you didn't come over and talk to you didn't. I said, well, if you really look at her, I said, look at her from here. Does she look like she want to be bothered? And she started giggling. She said, no. Why would I waste my time? And the other guys were going over there, getting dissed and getting dropped like flies. And it'd be fucked up sometimes. Some guys come back, man, she stuck up. She ain't about shit. She did, she that. I'm like, all right, whatever, man. All right, she ain't nothing but a hoe. She ain't nothing but this. Mm-hmm. And you just listen to them. You listen to the way they talk and you realize, I see why she didn't want your ass around. But fellas, one thing I would tell you. Observe a woman when you meet her in a setting like a restaurant or nightclub before you go over there to talk to her. I've seen so many guys get burned doing this shit. They'll go buy them a drink and she could be waiting on somebody. Like the one lady did, we went out one night, my boy was up there buying this woman a drink. She just came in, she was looking good. And he's like, man, I got to talk to her. I don't know if I do that because it's too soon. She just got in here and she's looking around. Well, she's sitting down at the table and she ordering a drink. I said, I don't know. And he went, he had the waitress go over, drop her off, whatever she was drinking. Then he moses his ass over there. Takes the chair and he positions himself beside this woman with her in between his legs. Bad move. She looked down at him and looked up at him and she said, I think you need to sit on the other side of the table. My boy didn't know what he was being set up for. A few minutes later, this big ass dude came in. Hey man, what's up, bro? And you know you're sitting at a table. My boy came back like a dog. Arr, 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 arr. Man, I ain't know she had a man. I said, that's the reason why I wait and observe. I see sometimes women don't, this is probably a new environment for her. She gonna come out and say, oh, my man's coming. Out of respect for her man, she let her man talk to you. Grabbed a drink that he had bought her. Thanks a lot, bro. Gulped it down. She didn't touch that drink. You got to watch yourself, fellas. Give yourself a few minutes before you go and start to talk to her, because you never know. And like I told my friend, I said, just think if he would have started fighting here. Man, well, we wouldn't have done shit. That man could have picked you up by your ankles and beat me with you. That wasn't gonna happen. That motherfucker, he was so big that when he went and grabbed that glass of Chardonnay, you saw nothing but a big ass hand. You ain't see the glass no more, you saw a hand. I'm like, shit. I'm like, if he even sneezed around you, you'd probably shit on yourself. I said, no. I said, bro, mm-mm. But he was a first mover. You have a lot of guys that are like that. Oh, I got to get it now. Let me go. Take your time, fellas. Observe a little bit. Especially if a whole group of women walk in. Oh, there's one in that group that doesn't have as much money as the others. You know that one right off the bat. And don't let them get arguing about gas money and shit. Babysitting arrangements. Now, you'll run across that sometimes. It depends on what kind of crowd you're dealing with. But universally, when a woman doesn't want to have anything to do with you, you're going to be classified as the jerk. Once you're designated as the jerk, what that means in woman speak is that you guys are not to be dealt with by any of the women in her entourage. And usually, it's going to be the one with the most influence that's going to say, he's a jerk. Fellas, let me tell you something else you need to pick up on. If you're walking towards her table and she looks at you and then she looks away, don't go over to that table. She's trying to figure out a lie before you get there. And believe me, it's going to be a good one. She's going to say anything from she's married to that is somebody else's birthday there and they're just in their little entourage and don't want to be bothered. But she don't want to deal with you. As I tell you before, a woman will make an assessment on a man within 30 seconds. You could just start counting. As soon as you look at her, she looks at you. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004, 1,005, 1,006, 1,007, 1,008, 1,009, 1,010, 1,011, 1,012, 1,013, 1,014, 1,015, 1,016, 1,017, 1,018, 1,019, 1,020, 1,021, 1,022, 1,023, 1,024, 1,025, 1,026, 1,027, 1,028, 1,029, 1,030. Decision is made on your ass at that point. Now, she's going to know halfway through that count at about 15, yay or nay. The rest of that 15 seconds for that 30 is her envisioning you in some way or form being in her proximity. And by the time she gets to 30, she's already made that decision. See, the first 15 seconds is observation. The second 15 seconds, she's making a decision. And see, some dudes that have been dissed so much, they're going to come in there and they're just like a salesperson. Let me tell you about this new program that we have. You know, like these people that try to join you on Facebook and Messenger or WhatsApp and try to add you to some sort of financial resource club or some bullshit like that. By the way, I always delete those messages. I don't even respond to them. Mute notification, delete. You're gone. If I need a financial advisor, I know plenty of them to go to. And I damn sure not going to somebody in a damn group online. This is why I tell you folks, when it comes down to these labels, sometimes people are mislabeled. I remember a lady one time talked to my friend, called him a narcissist because he wouldn't buy her a drink. Well, the reason why he didn't buy her a drink was because there was another guy that had purchased her one earlier. And she was cozying up to him. So he wasn't going to take that risk. And later on that evening, she got that same guy to buy her another drink. And my friend was like, damn, see, I'd have thrown money away. I said, there you go. I say, most of your education in life is through observation. That's all you have to do. Look at what you're dealing with. Look at who you're dealing with. But again, a lady labels you a player. Let me tell you, fellas, when you get labeled a player, this is what this means. Let me just interpret it for you. She's telling you, basically, I like you, but I don't think I could keep you because there are other women that you will probably meet that I know that are finer than I am. She's labeling you that so that you'll make a concerted effort to only be with her. I would tell you guys, women are competitive. They do not want you to see that real fine-ass friend of theirs in the early stages of your relationship. They want to wait until they got their hooks into you and they got a commitment to bring her out. That girlfriend that she talks to that's out of state and she tells you about her all the time and you see a picture of her for the first time, the two of them on vacation and she's flipping through her phone and say, oh yeah, this is my girlfriend in Maryland. You're like, God damn, when she gets here. Yeah, you'll probably meet her this summer. But now what she's going to do is lay the framework and rules are already going to be established for her, that friend. And you sitting up there, your tongue hanging out, dick hard. You don't want to try to mess with that woman. Trust me, everything's already set up for you. You mess around with that woman, that'd be the worst thing in the world you could have done to yourself. This is the reason why I tell you guys, when you're going for the physical side of the woman first, you want to get at least the woman physically that you desire. That will help you from cheating so much. Then you start seeing what you have to work with as far as whether or not that person's going to be the right individual for you. Because we got to face it. Yes, we're visual. And I'm going to tell you, as I told you before, is nothing worse than to be with a woman that you kind of, the kind of woman that you usually date, and you got this woman that's kind of out of your wheelhouse a bit. Like I told you, when I was getting ready to go and get with this lady, we got together, we got ready to have sex. I was used to a woman with nice, ample hips, large breasts, and her doggy style. And I went to reach for her hips, and I grabbed two damn bones. And I was like, oh shit, been bullshitted again. And I said, what's wrong? I said, oh, nothing. I'm up there feeling the ribs and shit, and I'm like, damn. Started to ask her, did you escape one of the camps in Auschwitz somewhere? I know, that's fucked up. But I mean, I could put my fingers inside her rib cage. But now what she had on when I met her, and when we go out, she'd always wear these big jackets and things like that to give herself more volume. My titties were bigger than hers. Let me tell you something else that'll fuck you up, guys. And some women will do this in the bedroom. They'll start sucking on your titties. That's a fucked up feeling, isn't it? You be like, because you don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. Because it's like a fucked up feeling. Well, you don't want to go, ooh. And fellas, let me tell you something else. Quit trying to do. Because some of you guys have done it. I even did it when I was a kid. Don't tell the woman to cover her eyes and stick out her index finger. And then you go and you suck her index finger. Yeah. That used to be a thing. Had a lady do that to me one time. Dick got harder than bricks. Hey, cover your eyes. I got something to show you. My dumb ass covered my eyes. She did it. She said, woo! It's a weird feeling. Feels like you stuck your finger in something wrong. But now, another way you get designated as a jerk, if you try for sex too soon. Women hate that. Women actually hate that. And remember, the woman that wants to have sex on the first date, the one that has no problem with you letting your fingerprints all over, there's usually something behind that. And she probably doesn't want to get serious with you. She wants to get laid. She could be in a relationship. And she's not going to have anything complicated as far as any complex conversation. Because, see, women are just out to have a good time. They don't want the heavy shit. Why do you think the majority of the people that listen to the show listen on Apple? Those are people that think through things. Not to cut down any of my Google folks, because you are just as good, Android folks. No difference. Web folks, no difference. But I'm just making a point in the sense that people who take things a little bit more seriously and don't look at dating as a sport or some kind of cavalier gesture they just do for the hell of it. Because you got to expend energy to try to find the right person for you. Worst thing in the world is to have a whole history of fucked up relationships and nothing to show for it in the end. Had all these people in your lives and you couldn't come up with one friend? You have all these people in your lives, but you couldn't come up with someone you couldn't trust? It's one of the reasons why some of the women I've dated, they say, hey, send me the link to the show. Or they'll get the link from somebody else that we knew mutually. And they go and leave a message or send an email. There's a lady down in, I think it's Elisa Viejo, somewhere down there. She's got a birthday coming up. Wants me to come down there and celebrate it with her. Told me not to bring a plus one because we had a lot of catching up to do. I remember dating her. She was really nice looking and very kind. It kind of scared me a bit. There was a stray dog that we were going down the street past. She wanted me to stop the car. She went and got the little fucker up and took him home. I'm saying, don't you think he needs to be checked out at the vet for a shot time? Oh, he's a sweet little Now, that's one thing about white women, especially in America. They could be in the worst neighborhood in the world. If they see a stray dog or a stray animal, shit. They'll take care of them. Oh, poopsie. They'll take care of them. That's just the way it goes. Well, folks,
we at Romantic Truth appreciate your listenership.
Listeners, you're invited to stream and listen to Jawsons music on Apple Music, Amazon Music, Spotify, AudioMac, or Deezer. Type in J-A-U-S-A-N in the search for artists to follow and like modern instrumental music from his discography.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those solely of the host and are not condoned or endorsed by Romantic Truth, Anchor, or any of its affiliates.
The advice given herein is the expressed opinion of the host and not to be used for legal, marital, or family, counseling, or for professional practice purposes. In the event for professional assistance, please contact the local licensed professional family counselor, marriage counselor, or social services professional in your region.
If you need someone to talk to in regards to help, you may contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255, available 24 hours. All correspondences read on the show have been pre-screened and pre-approved by the submitter to be aired on the show.
Be advised that all of the background music of production not provided by Anchor is owned by James Adams and Jawson One Music, exclusively licensed for this Romantic Truth podcast under waiver.
Please understand that there were no people or animals hurt in the segments of this show, including plants. All sound effects were improvised in the studio setting with props. We are an equal opportunity employer with two Yorkie poodles and a rat terrier as the security detail.
Please be advised that the content of this podcast is under copyright by Romantic Truth and James Adams.